Lord God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your Son, whom you sent so that we could be with you. We thank you for your love, for you so love the world. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you cared enough for us, even in the midst of our sin. You still wanted us to be with you, and so you made a way. And tonight, we celebrate the way that you made for us to be with you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And we ask you to prepare our hearts for what you have for us tonight. Speak to our hearts, lead us, grow us, mature us, and guide us. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this all. Amen. The fifth candle that we lit tonight, the white candle, is our Christ candle. And we light it on Christmas Eve because this is the night that we celebrate the coming of Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah. Tonight's mini message is what Jesus' entrance into this world demonstrates for us. Jesus didn't come to earth to just mingle with humans or to be a topic that people would talk about for thousands of years. 1 John 3:8b says, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." And John 3:16 says, everybody knows this one, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This birth that we're celebrating tonight truly is a big deal. Jesus came to retrieve your soul from the hands of the devil. Satan has manipulated each one of us into sin, and that separates us from God. But God loves us so much that he sent his Son Jesus to ransom our souls. Jesus tells us in Scripture that he came down from heaven for you and me. He left the perfectness of heaven to come here and purchase our souls with his blood. The love of Jesus is so great, so complete, that he laid down his life for you and me. You may be thinking, well, yeah, Pastor, that's the Easter story, but tonight's Christmas. John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven." Jesus set all the glory and splendor of heaven aside, and he came to earth to walk in average, everyday human shoes. He came to earth for you and me. He came to experience every trial and struggle that people face. He came to be love in this broken world. He came to lay down his life for others. Jesus set his life in heaven aside to come here for us. Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for another." And Jesus demonstrates this for us, not just in the Easter story, but also in the Christmas story. Jesus also calls us to follow him, to follow his lead, to follow his example. And then he tells us we can fulfill all the commands of Scripture by following the two greatest commands. Number one, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Today I'm not going to break down these two. If you've been in church for a while, you've heard them broke down numerous times. Today we're going to focus on the mini message that's in 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8a. I started tonight by saying our message is about what Jesus' entrance into this world demonstrates for us, and hopefully you've come up with that answer already. It demonstrates the love that God calls his children to. Jesus demonstrates love in action and calls us to follow him in it. And tonight, God's message is for us to slow down and take a real look at the love of God. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8a. Now, I've read this several times just since I've been pastoring at this church, and I've read through it quickly, and tonight we're going to go a little slower. So love is patient. When we look at the way that God deals with people, We have to stop and realize how patient he is, how patient he's been in Scripture, how many times the Israelites turned away from him, and he was still patient, still called them back, still loved them. How many times other people in Scripture got it wrong, got off on the wrong foot, started going down the wrong path, and God, loving them so much, loving us so much, was patient and set time aside, looking for them to come back, to turn back, to listen to him once again, to return like the prodigal son. Love is kind. We get the biggest example of love as being kind when we look at the way that Jesus responded to people when he was doing his 3 years of ministry as an adult. And no matter what the situation was that the person that he was talking to was going through, no matter what their history or background was, he was still kind to them. He still took time and talked to them. He still shared their salvation with them. The truth of what was available to them. He still took time, no matter what their background was. He still sat down and ate with them. He still took time. He was kind, no matter what their situation was. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It is not proud. Love does not get focused on itself and being proud and boastful and being proud and boastful and focusing on yourself and telling everybody else what I've done. And sometimes when I stand up here and share these stories of the things that I've experienced in life, I think, how does this sound to everybody else who's listening? Does it sound like I'm proud of what I've done? Does it sound like I'm boasting about, well, I've gotten to see this and I've gotten to see that? And I hope it doesn't, because that's never my intent. My intent is always that God's hand moves among us and just sharing that it's true. But love does not boast. It doesn't focus on yourself, and it doesn't call people to focus on my greatness. Love does not envy, and it does not boast. It does not dishonor others. Well, this would be an obvious one, because if you love somebody and you're putting them down, well, then you're really not loving them. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. We already talked a little bit about that. It is not easily angered. I remember teaching in a Bible study about how loving and kind Jesus was, and there was a man in there, and the amount that I went on about the love and the mercy and the grace of Jesus set him off, and he said, yep, well, what about the time that he made a whip out of cords and turned the temple upside down, and he showed anger, and what kind of love was that? And I had to stop and think, because I was new in Bible study, teaching Bible study. I was new in leading anything. And so I stopped and thought for a minute. And then I started thinking, why was Jesus doing this? It wasn't just average, everyday people that he was correcting. It was the people who were supposed to be leaders in the temple. It was people who were supposed to be leaders in faith. And they were doing all these detestable things in the temple. They were ripping people off by exchanging their money at a profit for themselves, and they were using animals for sacrifices that weren't as perfect as they were supposed to be, and they were doing all this stuff to fill their own pockets. And Jesus was upset that here they are the example that people are supposed to be following, and they're doing this. It was a correction for the love of mankind. It wasn't all anger on that specific situation. Love is not easily angered. I don't want to go more on that. It's obvious. If you're angry and you're hurting people, you're not loving them. There is a time for correction, and there is a time to step back and gain your thoughts before you do the correction. It keeps no record of wrongs. In this list, it doesn't say love forgives, but it keeps no record of wrongs. And if you can't forgive, then you're holding a record. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. If you love somebody, you're not going to celebrate the things that they're doing wrong. You're not going to promote the things that they're doing wrong. You're going to want them to go in the right direction. You're going to want them to benefit from the right things. You're going to want to correct them if they're going in the wrong direction. You're going to celebrate the truth of what needs to be done, what needs to be said, what needs to happen in a situation. Love does not delight in evil. Love always protects. When we look at Scripture, over and over and over again, Jesus talks about, and the New Testament talks about, and even in the Old Testament, it talks about widows and orphans and the oppressed and the people that are pushed down and the slaves. And it talks about the people that are being pushed down and mistreated by other people. And here we're seeing that love always protects. And that's what God calls us to do throughout Scripture. He calls us to stand up for people. He calls us to help people. He calls us to set our own agenda aside so that we can step in and be that support and encouragement for somebody else. Love always protects. Even in prayer, even in our house of worship, we're called to assemble together and pray together, and where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am amongst them. And when you're sick, call together the elders to pray for you. We're called to be there for each other, to protect each other. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. Yesterday's message had to do with peace. And I talked in it about hope and needing hope in order to keep going in a direction. So if you didn't have anything that you were striving for, you were going to get focused on your situation that you were in and you were going to stop moving. You needed hope. We need hope. And Jesus, coming as the Messiah, is the hope. Jesus returning one day is the blessed hope. Coming back for us. Building a place for us. If we don't make it through to the rapture, He's making a home for us in heaven. Promises of Scripture bring us hope. What does Jesus' entrance into this world demonstrate? The love of a God who can look past the mistakes of yesterday, the poor choices of today, the stumbles of tomorrow, and still long for you to be with Him in eternity. This patient love that God demonstrates is the same love that He calls us to demonstrate with our neighbors. Our neighbors are the people who we're doing life next to. He calls us to be patient with them. He calls us to be kind. He calls us to be forgiving. He calls us to be humble and respectful. He calls us to protect people, to put trust in people, to speak hope in low times. He calls us to persevere, to hold on and rise up in the needs of the times. Jesus calls us to love like He does. as we finish up 2018 and 2019, let these words absorb into your heart and mind. Love others like Jesus loves you, and demonstrate it so people know it's more than just words. Tonight, we celebrate the love Jesus showed for us, and we honor him by following his lead in loving people around us. We're going to close out in prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much for your Son and for your love. We gathered tonight to celebrate your Son and your love for us. And throughout this entire night, that's exactly what we'll celebrate. Throughout tomorrow, Lord God, we thank you that you cared so much for us, that you made the way for us to be with you forever. Lord God, guide us, guide our hearts and our minds, guide our lives, and help us to follow you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. Lord God, we thank you for this time together. We ask you to continue to bless us and encourage us and lift us up and mature us. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody.